Good morning. Hope you are all well and that you've endured or been able to endure the very cold weather over the last couple of days. Let's look forward to something a little bit milder. You know, the Bible is full of records of deliverances of people, of nations, the rescues of individuals. A lot of these are written for our learning. They are there that we might have hope. As it says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. You know, there are many deliverances and rescues, and the one that I'd like to focus on today is in 1 Samuel chapter 22. Here we find David on the run from the powerful King Saul. We just finished at the end of Samuel chapter 21, where in desperation, David had fled alone to the Philistine city of Gath. Gath, of course, interestingly enough, having been the hometown of Goliath. And apparently thinking he could hide there in that unexpected place, he was wrong and only escaped from the clutches of the Philistines by the skin of his teeth. David was in danger, not only from Saul, but also now in the neighboring Philistine territory. David had sort of bottomed out in his life. Here he was all alone. His wife, Michal, had helped him escape from Paul, but she wasn't with him. Saul was trying to kill him and had already made several attempts. He lost his best friend, Jonathan. He was at a low point in his life. He had bottomed out, no security, alone, no one to talk to, no hope, in utter despair. So where could he go next? In 1 Samuel chapter 22, it opens up with the answer to that question. He goes to a cave, most likely quite large. Maybe we would call it a cavern today. It says in verse 1, David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. David had left Gath. He had escaped to a cave. Still alone, David had little choice to find a hiding place. Adullam was about 10 miles southeast of Gath, and it was back up in the foothills. From David's point of view at that time, he was in dire straits. Six times David had escaped from Saul. Those are all described back in Samuel chapters 19 and later. And now he had escaped from the Philistines. Saul and the Philistines had very little in common, but as far as David was concerned, they were equally dangerous. When we read 1 Samuel chapters 21 to the end of 29, or to the middle of 29, they describe David's 10 years of exile. This escape to the cave in Adullam was just at the beginning of that period. His thoughts, his emotions, his faith, and his beliefs during that time frame are represented in more than 20 of the Psalms in the Bible today. David composed two of those Psalms from his experience in the cave. Starting in Psalm 142, David expresses his trust in God. We hear David's sense of aloneness and helplessness, apart from the Lord, who was his only secure refuge. I'm going to read parts of Psalm 142. The other psalm is Psalm 57. I recommend that whenever you are feeling a little in despair, as we sometimes and often do, I recommend highly that you look at Psalm 142 and Psalm 57. But for this purpose of this message, let's go to Psalm 142, where it says, when David was in the cave, a prayer. In the very first thing, in the very first verse, it says, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. And then he says, when my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. David must have felt really desperate and depressed, because in verse 4 he says, look and see, there's no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. What a horrible feeling. So who does David go to in his despair? He answers that in verse 5. He says, I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. In Psalm 57, although it's before 142 in the Bible, it is thought that it was written actually after Psalm 142, because it gives us more insight into David's thoughts and his emotions when he was in the cave. Here he's feeling a little bit more secure. He still states in Psalm 57, starting in the first verse, he still asks for mercy. He says, have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. And he has many more disasters to come. And verse 2, he says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. And then he gives God some credit. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. He praises God. In verse 5, he says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be all over the earth. And he repeats that he's in distress in verse 6. He says, I was bowed down in distress. But at the very end of this psalm, he praises God again. He says, I praise you, Lord. Among the nations I will sing of you, among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. There are many other psalms, I think another 15 or 16 actually, where David uses the words cry out, where he cries out to God. So how did God answer these prayers, or this prayer of Psalm 142? First thing that happened, interestingly enough, is he sent him his family, even though his family in history or prior to that time didn't give him the even credit of being able to be considered, to replace Saul. But his family was the first that came to the scene. As David hid in this cave, news of David's hiding place, somehow it must have reached his family. And they must have somehow word got to them. Because in the same verse of 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, it says, and when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And the family were not the only ones. Then there were 400 other people. But interestingly, who were these people? These were the people, as it says in verse 2, all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. These 400 others, they were stressed out like David. They were in despair. They were discontented. They had been mistreated and overtaxed by Saul. They had been bitter, and they had been done wrong. Imagine being in that cave, or in and around it, with 400 malcontents, grumbling, desperate people, along with his family. And that family, I'm sure, were just as afraid of Saul as David was, because you can be sure Saul would wanted to have eliminated them as well. The other interesting thing, though, is that these 400 people, over time and under David's leadership and example and guidance, these 400 eventually became part of David's men of valor. And we can read some of those men of valor in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. But back to the cave. Here was David in despair. How did David approach the situation he was in? The first thing he did is he declared his situation with someone. He shared his situation. He shared his situation and he poured out his complaint, as it says in verse 2 of Psalm 142. He poured out his complaint to our Lord, to God. He described his situation. He asked for mercy, of course. And then the second thing he did is he cried for help. And then he humbled. By being humble, he asked for mercy. And he accepted his situation and he relied on God for relief. And finally, what he did, and it's again in Psalm 57, he praised God and his glory. So where are we to turn when our life brings us despair? Where do we turn when the issues of life, the tests of life, our trials, maybe scandal, when we encounter family disagreements, when we have challenges and problems with our finances, where we have problems maybe at work or maybe no work at all, when we are lonely? Those who suffer addiction and depression, where are we to cry out? We are to do as David did. David went to God. In Psalm 31, verse 1, he says, "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness." We need a refuge, as did David. Sometimes we too feel we are in the cave, as I call it. We need a refuge when we are in distress and we are sorrowful. We also need a refuge because we are sinners. And we need a refuge because we are surrounded at times by misunderstandings, adversaries, people who say or do things more than we can bear. They say things that are intolerable to us or not understanding. We don't know why people say things sometimes the way they do or act the way they do against us. So where should we go? We go to Jesus Christ. He is our strength, our mighty rock, our fortress, our stronghold, and our high tower. As David had been humbled in a cave, our Savior Christ humbled himself for us so that we may go to him when we are, as I call it, in the cave. We can go to him, and upon repentance, we are given peace and comfort when we cry out to him. And we, by his grace, have received this amazing faith and eternal life. You know, as God was with David, God is also with us. As he was also with Moses and Joshua. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, when it relates to Moses, He says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged. And to Joshua, in Joshua 1 verse 5, he says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. I won't forsake you. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews repeats it again. I will, in Hebrews 13 verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, God is with us. He is with us whether we feel it or not. Felt or unfelt, he is with us. Seen or unseen, he is with us. And he is with us even when we are in sin and we are in our, as I would say, like the others, in our distress or when we are malcontent. God did not give up on David, and God does not give up on us. And there are a couple of reasons for that. And the first one is, and it's also illustrated in these Psalms, because God has a purpose for each and every one of us. In Psalm 57, verse 2, David wrote, God who fulfills his purpose for me. I mean, imagine how difficult it would have been to believe in God's purpose for David as he hid in the darkness of that cave in Adullam. He must have wondered what future could there be for this fugitive. At the first opportunity, Saul would kill him. The Philistines across the border would do the same if given another chance. Huddled alone in a cave was the only safe place he could find, and how long would he be able to stay there safely? Yet, he could speak of the God who fulfills his purpose for me. So David knew that there was a purpose that God had called him and placed him there. We know that purpose, of course. It was to give this man a kingdom. David would become a king. And how that could happen was beyond imagining to him at that time. But nonetheless, David praised God's word and put his trust in him. And so he knew that the God who fulfills his purpose for me, he knew that he was given a purpose. You know, the secret to David's confidence was knowing that God's sovereignty, his authority over all, assured David that God would fulfill his purpose. And that purpose, it was to bring the Savior from David's line, to bring us a Savior, Jesus Christ. I read that verse again, Psalm 57, verse 2. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. And just as for David at the time he may not have known all of the purposes the Lord had planned for him, no matter our situation, God has a purpose for us now and in the future. As he wrote, or Jeremiah wrote in verse 11 of chapter 29, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope, to give us a purpose. So as Christians, we are to pursue with faithfulness God's purpose for our lives. God's purpose for David's life was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who triumphed over all the enemies of God's church through his resurrection, which in turn gives us a steadfast, immovable, always abounding opportunity in the work of the Lord, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It's a purpose. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Our purpose has a meaning. We may not know it all now, But it has a meaning and it's important to God. We are given a glimpse of that purpose. Because at the end of the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 7, he talks about the kingdom and us being children in the kingdom. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I'll be their God, and they will be my children. God did not give up on David, just as God does not give up on us. And the second reason, why did God not give up on David? In Psalm 57, at the end of the psalm, David acknowledges God's love. At the end of 57, verses 10 and 11, it says, "For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." David knows God's love. He felt God's love. He had faith in God's love. It's interesting, if you compare Psalm 108, verses 1 to 5, and this same Psalm 57, verses 7 to 11, it's exactly the same that David wrote. "For great is your love above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." You know, God had many purposes for David. Writing Psalms, of course, preparing the materials for the temple, leading a nation and showing how a nation can be in peace for over 40 years. They were all fulfilled in David's life. Yet the most amazing, powerful, and life-saving purpose was fulfilled thanks to Jesus Christ. David's purpose of bringing the Savior through David's line. Jesus Christ, who triumphed over all his enemies through his resurrection. He took on our sin so that our purposes can be fulfilled as well, so that we might have eternal life. It's not easy being a Christian today. It's not easy for a lot of people. It's a lot harder for some who are being persecuted, who are in jails and so on. But even at times, we may feel we are in what I call the cave. So I say, cry out, seek refuge, as did David. And then give thanks and praise. Recognize that we have a purpose. We have been called for a reason. Be unshakable in our faith. May we seek refuge when we are in despair, knowing that our Savior's love is so great that he humbled himself, died for us, was resurrected to give us purpose. For us, it's probably way beyond all we can imagine. But as his children for eternity, we will not need to hide in a cave. There will be no caves of despair. You know, Paul expressed the love of Christ. He expressed it in Ephesians chapter 3, 17 to 18. It says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love, that you give us a purpose in life and love that we cannot even calculate how powerful it is. We thank you that we can seek you out, that we can cry out to you when we are in distress, that we can seek you, that you are our stronghold, our high tower, that we can come to you, for you are our refuge, that we can come to you and lay our burdens on you, and you will pick them up and take them from us, so that we may have peace and comfort, and that you will comfort us, as you have shown us and has been illustrated by your servant, David. Thank you, great God, once again for your grace, your mercy, your love, that we have a reason to live, and that you have given us life by your love. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.